May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, our God, our Redeemer. I once heard it said that you become a true city dweller when you ugly cry on public transit. You know the feeling, don't you? I'm sure lots of us, myself included, can wear this city dweller badge with pride and perhaps a pang of remorse. We are sitting there just trying to make it home, but alas, the emotions come. And there we are, ugly crying as we sit on a half-wet streetcar seat with a broken window leaking into our face and a man in a too large coat squished in the spot next to us. It's often in these raw, highly uncomfortable, and exposed moments in life that I am reminded of just how important space is, what it truly means to have space of our own, and the implications of what not having space and place have on our physical, mental, and emotional health. Moments like these might give us just a touch of insight into the vast, vulnerable space of the wilderness. Our readings today mark the first Sunday of Lent. Our Lenten journey always starts with the story of Jesus entering the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us a rendition of this story. In every version, just prior to the time Jesus goes to the wilderness, Jesus is baptized by John, and just after, he begins his ministry. This time in the wilderness is the very first thing that Jesus does after being baptized. We use this story as a representation of arguably one of the most defining practices in the Christian tradition, Lent. There are lots of interesting things to consider about the temptations Jesus faced, but since our reading today isn't so much focused on the specific temptations, I have been considering what then might this passage be calling us towards. What I keep coming back to was, why did Jesus mark the start of his ministry with this event? Why was this the very first thing? I began my work in service to people experiencing homelessness in Toronto about 11 years ago at YSM. I had some decent experience for my age, but had gotten the job on probably 80 or 90% passion and 10 or 20% experience. I was excited, but had loads of imposter syndrome going on. My supervisor had asked to meet with me about trainings, so I did a ton of research on available training options to appear well-informed. The next morning, my boss said, "Okay, so it's time we talk about getting you into some training." "Sounds great," I said with confidence. "I've been doing some research. There are some really interesting and relevant things going on at KMH and the Canadian Institute for Health Information. Subcontext, I know I just moved here, but I already know all the things. Aren't I so impressive?" "Oh, I'm sure that's true," she said, "but where I would like you to start is with this." And she leaned in and handed me a paper. She continued, "So this is optional. We can't make anyone do this, of course, but some staff choose to. It's a great way to begin your work here if you feel like you are comfortable." My quick scan revealed that it was an invitation to experience 48 hours of homelessness in Toronto firsthand by just being out there. The paper had just a couple of instructions on it. I remember the very first line said, "You can have 50 cents for your emergency call unless you ask a stranger for change." She leaned in and said, "No pressure, but let me know if you want to do it this weekend." I know, right? Thankfully, and maybe even surprisingly, I chose yes. And if I had to name five of the most formative experiences for me in my life, that would make the list. The very first step towards understanding the community I was about to journey with was to experience for myself just a snippet of the isolation, the disconnection, and the oppression that they had to experience every single day. What we do first sets our course. And Jesus has chosen to set his course, starting with his time in the wilderness, which tells us this is something we should pay attention to. He begins his ministry with the most important thing, to be in a position that would allow him to feel the most extreme versions of fear, of loneliness, of isolation, of temptation. In fact, Jesus' period in the wilderness is actually what ensures that his ministry is centered around the poor, the lost, and the brokenhearted. Because Jesus can now understand and feel this pain in the most primitive of ways. And he then understands that when he leaves the wilderness, these are the corners of darkness and the places where the message of love, that love will conquer death, is needed the very most. So what could this mean to us now? To truly begin to understand the implications of how Jesus' time in the wilderness informs our time here during Lent. Why is this time of desolation so utterly important to Christianity and our humanity? One of my favorite authors and sociologists, Brené Brown, offers these timely words in her new book. Belonging so fully to yourself that you're willing to stand alone in the wilderness, an untamed, unpredictable place of solitude and searching. It's a place as dangerous as it is breathtaking, as sought after as it is feared. The wilderness can often feel unholy because we can't control it, or what people think about our choice of whether to venture into the vastness or not. But it turns out to be the place of true belonging, and it's the bravest and most sacred place you will ever stand. A few weeks ago in the drop-in, I was having a chat with a feisty woman we'll call Tina, who's in her 80s. She told me, "I found the secret to life in 2008. Do you want to know it?" How could I possibly say no to this offer? I told her, "Yes, please." She said, "Okay, I will bring in something tomorrow. You have to read it to understand." Not knowing what to expect or if I would even see her tomorrow, the conversation slipped my mind until the next day around 11. Then there she was, carrying lots of bags and scooting through the front door. I didn't mention anything just in case she was in a different frame of mind and just said, "Hey there, Tina, great to see you again." "Oh, I'm here to tell you the secret of life," she said matter-of-factly. I could not deny my intrigue, and frankly, this whole conversation was a bit entertaining, so I pulled up a chair next to her. She took out an envelope and opened it, and there were 50 or more pages, many quite old and worn. She was calculated as she sifted through the pages, humming to herself. She finally found the one she was looking for. "Here, read this. This is me in 1955, she said. I began to read. What was on the page was a rather dark account of her life at that time. She would have been in her 20s. The note talked about how she didn't want to live, how the darkness she felt was all-encompassing. The note ended with a poem that was a cry to God, asking why God had left her. It was extremely sad. I didn't say a lot. All I could think of to finally say was, thank you for sharing this with me. And then we sat in some silence. Then she said, so guess what I learned in 2008? Oh, right. I had almost forgot the secret to life. In 2008, I learned that I am worthy of love and that I have value. June 5th, 2008, to be exact. Someone said it and it clicked. It finally clicked. She clapped her hands above her head with glee. I could see the spark in her eye and I could feel her heart. She meant this, every single word. What went from being a questionably sane conversation became profound and beautiful and holy. Wow, that is amazing. So some 50 years you struggled like this, I said as I raised the letter she had written back in 1955. Oh, I still struggle. But I know the truth now. So when I struggle, I look through that darkness and I look towards that light. Perhaps Lent is a reminder that we need to spend some time in our wilderness, to not be so quick to push it away. That in fact, it's only by facing that darkness, working on it and through it, that we can begin to enter the light. There's no question that the wilderness is painful. But the promise that Lent holds is that that time in the wilderness, that time with our grief and that time with our insecurities and our shame and our fears and our addictions and our secrets does lead towards healing when it's given the proper space. And if we do enter into that darkness, there's promise of new life, of clarity, of purpose. Maybe you gave up chocolate or smoking or soda pop for Lent. Practicing self-sacrifice is a very good thing. It's great to find practical ways to remind ourselves that sacrifice is necessary to living a full life. But I think Lent is even more than this. It's a time to remember that we need to also allow ourselves to enter places in our own wilderness, and also places of wilderness that will connect us to the struggles of others. We have community members right here in our space that do not have a home, that do not have access to basic needs, that do not experience welcome or acceptance in regular society. We will spend 4 weeks in Lent, starting next week, reflecting together on what being lost could feel like. If you're looking for a way to explore this, please join us. Here's God's promise. When those dark times lift and when we face our demons, we are vulnerable with each other and we can truly experience the power in the verse that follows. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news. After we emerge from the wilderness, the good news of Jesus is so much more alive. Because when we are brave enough to face our darkness, we will begin to realize the transformational power of our light. Amen.